The trial of former Trump campaign chair Paul Manafort is in its ninth day today, with the prosecution still presenting closing arguments. Manafort's financial life has been on display. He's charged with bank and tax fraud, and we've heard about offshore accounts, doctored bank accounts, fake loan applications, secret payments from Ukrainian oligarchs, and that ostrich leather jacket, even though federal judge T.S. Ellis spent the week berating prosecutors, saying, among other things, it isn't a crime to have a lot of money. Yesterday, he had a tell the jury to ignore one of his outbursts.
Meantime, the parents of First Lady Melania Trump are now officially American citizens thanks to the so-called chain migration policy that President Trump hates. Let's look at it all with our weekly political roundtable. Beth Fooey, senior politics editor for NBC News and MSNBC. Hi, Beth.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Domenico Montanaro is with us, NPR lead political editor. Hi, Domenico.
Hello.
So let's start with the Manafort trial. Again, this is President Trump's former campaign chairman. We heard in detail this week from Manafort's former right-hand man, Rick Gates. Domenico, what are the key takeaways so far from this trial?
Well, you know, this is a trial where, you know, the president's former campaign chairman is on trial for essentially bank fraud and a lot of his financial dealings. It didn't have to do with Russia and the campaign, but this is the first trial from the Mueller campaign, from the Mueller probe on the Russian interference. So, you know, I think so far what we've seen is lots of evidence against Paul Manafort for having not having bank accounts that he had declared having that he had to pay taxes on a lot of this income that he was getting, some $60 million from overseas. So a lot of that documentation, so far we haven't heard from the defense except in cross-examination, which will start to take place.
Yeah, well, Beth, this is the first trial, as we've said, to come from Special Counsel Mueller's Russia investigation, although, as everyone points out, and Domenico just did, it is not about the Russia investigation. But is it in some ways about the Russia investigation? People have been asking, wait a second, why would a guy, Manafort, who apparently spent through $60 million and had nothing when he joined the Trump campaign to work for nothing, why would he do that? You know, there's been all this mysterious speculation about nefarious, maybe the Russians wanted him to go to the Trump campaign to work for nothing. I mean, is there anything else that we can take from this?
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, it may not legally have anything to do with the Russia investigation, but politically it certainly does. I mean, we're learning so much, of course, about Paul Manafort's ties to this pro-Russian Ukrainian client that he was working for. And before he was summarily dismissed from the Trump campaign last year, he was successful in helping moderate the Republican Party platform toward Russia and on its Ukraine policy. So he certainly got something out of it on behalf of these pro-Russia folks that he has worked for. The other thing that we could take away is that Donald Trump and his campaign were willing to bring aboard someone as their chairman and his chief deputy, Rick Gates, also onto the campaign, who were so compromised. Typically, when a major party presidential nominee is staffing up, they look very carefully into the ties and the backgrounds of the folks that are coming to work for them at a high level in order to avoid this kind of thing. And clearly, that was not something that Trump or his associates did, or perhaps they would have found out that there were many, many reasons why this was a sort of a sketchy choice to head the campaign.
And we will continue to follow the Manafort trial. This has been going on all week, but something sort of popped up out of the blue yesterday, and that is Melania Trump, the First Lady's parents. They got their U.S. citizenship through so-called chain migration, which is something that President Trump has denounced. They used Melania Trump to get their own citizenship. Here was the family's lawyer, Michael Wilds, yesterday saying they did not receive special treatment.
Everything went through a normal process like everybody else. You're allowed to apply after 5 years of having a green card and so forth. It was all done lawfully.
What?
Beth, what's going on here?
Well, I mean, let's keep in mind the term chain migration is extremely negative, and it's one that sort of anti-immigration folks have used, and the president and his team have adopted. It's basically allowing family members to bring over other family members to the United States. It's not as nefarious as the term chain migration would make it sound, but it's a great reminder that President Trump evidently is okay with an immigration policy that exists if it benefits him and his family, but he's against it if it benefits other people.
Right. It is. The lawyer was right. It's legal.
It's certainly legal, and it makes sense that a person who is here legally in the United States as an immigrant might want to bring over close family members as well.
Yeah,
it was funny hearing the lawyer say that he said, "I suppose," when he was asked,
"I suppose that's what it was."
If they got they got citizenship through chain migration, quote unquote. But he also said that he thinks that it's better to call it, quote, a bedrock of our immigration process when it comes to family reunification. He has one person who disagrees with him in the White House.
Yeah. Look, we talked about Paul Manafort. I just want to touch on another person this week who's close with Donald Trump, President Trump, who's in hot water, Congressman Chris Collins of New York, charged with insider trading stemming from his longtime involvement with the drug maker Innate Immunotherapeutics. It's about a drug that might heal a disease that apparently has touched him personally. But here he was this week.
The charges that have been levied against me are meritless, and I will mount a vigorous defense in court to clear my name. I look forward to being fully vindicated and exonerated, ending any and all questions relating to my affiliation with Innate.
Boy, Beth, it does not look good because he got the news that an experiment for this drug failed after 15 years of work on it. And then there's a track record of him calling his son going to see his fiancée's father, everyone involved except for Chris Collins immediately dumping their stock.
Yeah, it sure doesn't look good, particularly since there's a photo of him appearing to look down at his phone during the congressional picnic last summer, right about the time that he was said to have made that call to his son to suggest that he dump the stock. Yeah, I mean, it's just one more example. I mean, this week has been sort of replete with examples of people around President Trump being part of the very swamp that Trump promised to drain. I mean, between Paul Manafort and Chris Collins, it just continues to swirl around the president that these people who are surrounding him, who are supposedly some of the best people who Trump, pledged to have around him, are in fact actually engaged in the kind of swampy stuff that he said he wanted to prevent.
Well, we remember that some of the quote best people have already been dismissed from the administration. A number of them have because of things. Remember Tom Price, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, who was ousted after all those flights that he was taking, and same thing has happened to other cabinet members.
But this goes beyond the White House's scandals. This has to do everything with who controls Congress in the fall, because let's remember in 2006, people talked about the Iraq War as the thing that really was the problem for Republicans. And it really was. It was what laid the foundation. But scandal seats, ethics problems are what put Democrats over the top for them to be able to win back enough seats. In fact, 3/4 of people in exit polls in 2006 said that that ethics and corruption were at least a very important factor in their vote. And Republicans were the ones being hit with those. And if that were to happen again this year, and we've already seen a couple of these instances, that could be another piece of the leaky part of the boat that they don't need right now.
Well, even the perception of ethical issues. I mean, it feels like in the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of, Jeremy, we've been saying this, a lot of what were they thinking? So let's turn to Kris Kobach, who's in that Republican primary for governor. It's in a dead heat between the incumbent, Jeff Collier, and the Trump-backed Secretary of State, Kris Kobach, who heads the state's election office and had refused to recuse himself from the recount. He finally caved, tons of pushback. Here he was last night on CNN.
There's really no point in doing it because the Secretary of State doesn't actually have any role in the counting of provisional ballots or in any recount. It's purely sort of a titular role. You're head of the state election process, but all of the work is done at the county level. The counties do the counting of ballots. So there's really no point to it. But I said if my opponent wishes me to, I'd be happy to.
Yeah, so there's no point to me stepping down from this state election office overseeing the election that I'm in. Beth, it just seems to be that whiff, especially here, because he's the former head of President Trump's voter fraud commission, which found no voter fraud. And he's been a cheerleader on this. And here he is in a position of, having something to do with his own recount. What are they thinking?
Well, he didn't know that he was going to be in such a tight race with his opponent.
But you stepped down, right?
The incumbent governor. Well, of course. And it's amazing that it took him a couple of days to do that, particularly, as you said, Robin, because he has been one of the most outspoken people around the country, leaders on this notion that elections are inherently compromised and that thousands or millions of people might have voted illegally. For him to so blithely dismiss concerns about how this election in his own state under his tutelage would be counted speaks volumes about the fact that he's only worried about it when it affects other people and clearly not anything that could affect him.
Mm. It's Beth Fooey at NBC News and Domenico Montanaro, lead political editor at NPR. I hope that we can take a couple of days this weekend, leave politics aside, and focus on the Perseid meteor showers, which we will talk about. Thanks to both of you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.